Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the MLSecOps podcast. My name is Neil Swans, and I'm a business development director here at Protect AI. Also brought along a colleague, Oleg, who's here on the call with me. Oleg, if you want to give a short introduction.
Yeah, I'm Oleg. I'm a principal engineer at Protect AI, leading open source initiatives and LM security initiatives as well.
Great. And today we obviously have a special guest on the show. We actually have Simon So here with us. He's a co-founder and CTO of Llama Index. And we're obviously big fans of Llama Index, you know, and the community they've established. And in fact, we recently released a technical guest post. So Simon, super happy that you're here. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, super be here. Thanks for the invite and excited for the conversation ahead.
Cool. So to set the stage, Simon, do you want to give a short professional background for our audience?
Sure. Yeah. I'm co-founder and CTO of Llama Index. We build a leading data framework for orchestrating data and large language model in this new generation of software. Before this, I was a research scientist in the self-driving industry, worked a lot on training models, deploying models, and really working with these stochastic artifacts that behave very, very differently from the deterministic software that we have become more familiar with, right? So a lot of my work was building scaffolding and frameworks to make sure that developers can better harness the power of these stochastic systems and kind of bringing that expertise into building this open source framework to really kind of supercharge development in the generative AI era as well.
Interesting. I guess there's probably a lot of things that you could have transferred away from that experience looking at autonomous driving. I mean, it was actually one of the first real issues of security along with autonomous driving. Is that something you've dealt with quite a bit, like security for AI with respect to autonomous driving?
Yeah, in the context of self-driving, a lot of it is more about safety, like how to understand the performance and guarantees of these black box systems that you can really only control via the training data and loss objective. And at the end of the day, you're giving them control in the real world and they can have real impact on like different people who are in the car and outside of the car. So a lot of the work is really rigorous testing to make sure that there's various aspects of, you know, performance and safety and comfort that the model can meet.
Yeah, a lot of that we also see today, I guess, with large language models. And I guess like one of the core questions that I'm keen on learning is obviously today, RAG has become a pretty important piece to the typical LM architecture out there. But that wasn't so obvious, you know, 6 months ago. Even a year ago, people weren't really talking about it as much as today, obviously. So what really inspired, you know, the creation of Llama Index for you and your co-founder? And what sets it apart today, looking at the vast amount of frameworks that you have, including those for building RAG-based LM applications?
Totally. I want to just first start by saying my understanding of RAG is, I actually think that term might be a little bit too limiting. The term I like better is like these compound AI systems where you need to orchestrate together a bunch of components, one of them being the large language model, and other ones are these other application APIs or components that we already have familiarity with, right? Specifically in RAG, it's really about connecting this new form of computation power to the knowledge that we already have, whether that's personal knowledge or like organizational knowledge. It's almost like we have this new computer and it has some built-in hard drive containing a lot of data about the world. But what we really want to do is to have information about us, right? The user who are currently interacting with the application, as well as the contextual information about the organization that they have, right? So I think of RAG as this process of easy way to swap in like a new hard drive containing the custom data you might have so that you can like operate on that instead of just like some pre-built hard drive that comes shipped with the large language model.
Yeah, this reminds me of the idea of LLM OS from Andre Harbati.
Like, totally, yeah.
Yeah, that reminds me like connections. So you see RAG kind of beyond just, you know, like kind of getting data from vector databases, but actually like connecting the system to like all the knowledge that is available about like a person or organization.
Exactly. Yeah. I think RAG, the terminology came from like a 2019 paper, and the original paper is not actually just about like frozen retriever as well as the generation being glued together, right? There's the end-to-end training process as well. So I think we've kind of abused that term a little bit. I think it's much better to understand it as the broad concept of contextualizing the LLM on the environment that it's interacting with, whether it's the application context or the organizational context.
Yeah, I'm actually curious. So, like, I mean, you're doing this open source, and we've been also doing, like, we started actually open source as well with our LLM security tooling. But I'm curious, you know, what actually prompted you to, you and your co-founder to start open source and build in public? And maybe, like, what kind of challenges and like, you know, you faced it while being open source?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the project really started at the end of 2022, right after the ChatGPT has really taken off. We are really just tinkerers who really love learning and kind of interacting with this technology more. And we found a lot of like new wave of generative AI or AI engineers who are also kind of building these new applications, exploring new paradigms. And a lot of people are reinventing the wheel as it comes to different components in building out RAG or compound AI system. This is about like integrating with different data sources, creating different ways to kind of parse and structure this data so that it's optimized for the large language model to reason over it. So our really initial desire is really to like help empower the developers and kind of grow and learn together with them and build that in public so we can foster a community that can kind of build this new generation of software together, right? So the open source framework really came out of like this desire to kind of share our learnings and really educate this new kind of frontier wave of developers to build these new things.
Maybe as a follow-up question to that, obviously being open source, you have that community as a driver to have contributions to your library as well. How do you keep a balance between making a library that is enterprise ready and getting contributions from the community, making that QA, like quality assurance thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's like a constant thing we are thinking about. So one of the big change we made recently is kind of like breaking up the package into a very small core that we are confident about the security guarantees and the robustness, as well as like separate integration packages, right? So that they can be versioned separately and we can put more effort into making sure that the core parts of the library are very robust and well-tested. And then sort of more experimental ones are explicitly labeled so that like, you know, for people who are kind of in a more experimentation and prototyping setting, they can explore the newest and the latest research that's come out. So we typically support that, like new techniques that we enjoy and find potential in almost within days or weeks to make sure that's available for tinkerers to be able to try it. But also like the core is very robust and we kind of hardened it across time over the past year to make sure that has the highest quality possible.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And yeah, really cool approach. I think, you know, we obviously see quite a few large corporates entering the LLM space. And you've probably seen also the report from Andreessen on the state of AI at enterprise, where you see the massive investment flowing into LLM building, like builds, right? What would you say are kind of the primary security considerations really when you think about developing applications with large language models?
Yeah, I think the way I think about it, the security concern is really about like the input and output of the large language model, like specifically what input it gets, right? Whether that's only the user data that's currently interacting with the large language model itself, or like you're able to surface organizational information as well, which are meant for only a subset of users to see, right? And how is the model like how are we handling that input before that pass into the large language model, right? So I think there's a lot of things people have like thought about, security concern coming from like prompt injection attacks, ability to reveal like system prompts, ability to reveal user information, organizational data. I think a lot of those make the like enterprises super, super scared. And then on the other side, right, like on the output or action it can take is pretty top of mind as well. Like a lot of these applications that are being built are co-pilot or assistant applications, which have the ability to kind of do something in the real world as well, right? Not just limited to like sending output back, right? A lot of these are being hooked up to like CRMs or like other kind of APIs so that can trigger some change in the external environment, right? So since I'm such a stochastic system, making sure that the output doesn't have a bad consequence is like pretty top of mind as well, right?
Yeah, so, for sure. Yeah, we also think about it in a similar way. Obviously, input and output evaluation being the cornerstone also of LM Guard and in our view, LM security. But especially as we kind of look at, you know, expanding capabilities, i.e. connecting LMs to, you know, downstream systems, that expanded capability set will also lead to expanded blast radius in case of a breach. So definitely agree.
Yeah. I'm also curious. So we, when working on this guest post for Llama Index and integration with LM Guard, we experimented like, can you do like prompt injection, like when you ingest the data? For example, like we took three resumes of different people, and in one resume, like in the document, we actually put like prompt injection, which was like white color text, and in that prompt injection, we kind of asked the model to promote this person, although the person had like the least experience out of all three candidates. And the model actually did it. It chose that person because we kind of asked like, yeah, this person needs to pay like money. They don't have, they're really struggling. And so, yeah, like I would like to understand kind of your take and maybe some stories that you hear from the community about like, what are these specific things like with AI security, but like related to RAG?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like by the definition of RAG, right, you're giving the large language model access to a lot more data. And sometimes you don't necessarily control like exactly what goes into that, especially if it's user uploaded, right? I think the example you gave is super great. I don't know if necessarily I want to use LM to screen resumes quite yet. We actually played around with that and felt that like the potential for bias is quite high. So, but yeah, I think the general example holds, right? Like a lot of time, like these RAG applications really relying on some semantic search or hypersearch to be able to surface contextual information. So I think like that part maybe is a little bit harder to game by these prompt injection attacks. But I can totally see that like even after like the relevant chunks are kind of retrieved, like sort of embedded malicious things can be passed into LM to alter the behavior, right? And like you said, like when you attach more systems, you have a higher blast radius. Another example I can think of is just like when you use these contextual information to decide an action to take, it can actually like cause even more harm in the downstream systems, right? So I think like right now, like from people who are currently building these applications, the biggest fear is not necessarily quite these kind of like harmful prompt injection attacks yet. It's more about just like data leakage, I think, right? It's like not maliciously injecting some instruction to do something, but by accident, like the access control is off. And then like, I don't know, like this employee gets to see the data that the CEO has put in there and that they're not supposed to see. So I think those kind of like fear and concerns are much more top of mind, at least from the conversations I've had. And a lot of that is really just about like great access control configurations as it comes to the data, like accurately propagating the ACLs coming from the data sources into the implementation as relates to like vector database or whatever search engine you have, so that like those information can be safeguarded and have the right access control.
Yeah, it's actually like something that we see a lot. Actually, like a lot of human projects are being developed right now, like by like startups, actually tackling this specific problem of data access. But you mentioned a good, like a very interesting thing about like propagating ACLs to basically the storage. But do you think like, you know, if like you scale the data and basically start like ingesting more and more, it's not, maybe like it's not kind of the best option, because like we see a lot of startups actually trying to kind of classify data and like guess what kind of ACL to assign to it. But we still don't like know if it's like accurate enough way to tackle this problem. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's many different ways. Like, I think like the most important thing is just accurately propagating information from the organization's like identity provider, right? Like, I think a lot of companies are interested in, for example, like connecting SharePoint, right? Like building like knowledge bases and building RAG on top of SharePoint, right? Like a lot of like the group and user information already is available as metadata. They just need to be properly kind of propagated and managed, both in the ingestion side as well as the retrieval side, right? And I guess like an improper management of that process can actually lead to like malicious attacks based on just like, you know, like, prompt-based ways to change these access or like metadata. But it depends on how much control the sort of underlying large language model have access in this data ingestion system.
Yeah. And maybe it also would be interesting to see, to hear like, how does Llama Index prioritize security and data privacy like in this design philosophy?
Yeah, so I think for us, we are fairly opinionated, and what we really want to have is like a easy way to integrate with these kind of guardrails or like PI masking modules, so that like both on the input side and the output side of large language models, it's very easy to slot in different providers of these, right? And I think like it's really about giving the developers choice and ability to customize these pipelines so that they can build in the way that they want, right? Like that's kind of the core ethos of the open source framework. We're not trying to be opinionated. And I think like, you know, like for developers in these larger organizations who are familiar with their like security requirements, it's best for them to kind of like integrate with Llama Index in an easy way.
Got it. And maybe as kind of a follow-up question there, you mentioned obviously developers being slightly more aware of security risks. Do you see a massive shift in the market in terms of education around LM security when you engage with your users or clients? Did you see, for example, a massive increase in queries on security for LMs with RAG? Or
I think it's a full spectrum, I want to say. Like the level of maturity in terms of understanding even what LM is or like RAG is, it's all across the board. I think the most sophisticated customers already have these systems set up. They're actively improving the capability and performance, and also like pushing forward on the security aspect, right? And I think like I would say like the majority of them are still most focused on the data privacy and security aspect, less on the malicious attack aspect from what we have seen so far.
Right. Yeah, and I think we kind of see that emerge as well in our perspective, kind of slowly enterprises setting up these AI security roles or AI security director, AI security lead roles. So yeah, I think also on top of that, kind of the good resources that are out there from the OS community on LM security is probably one of the reasons that drove that. So yeah.
Cool.
Right. Another probably question is more about like RAG and the future of it, because like a lot of discussions are currently about these long context models, like for example, the new Gemini 1.5 like model, or actually a couple of days ago, there was a paper from Google. I think it was called like Leave No Context Behind, like infinite context window.
No.
Yeah. And like, how do you envision the future, like evolution of RAG techniques given this developments?
So I think like I typically like to go back to that like computer processor analogy again, right? Like when you have more and more powerful CPUs and like larger amounts of RAM, you still want a way to be able to load information into RAM, right? Like there's always like a cost as well as performance trade-off in like how much data you give it. Specifically in RAG, like I think what I see in the future is going to be like you have this trade-off frontier of like how much cost and latency versus like performance. And like for some of the tasks, it's much more amenable to shove the whole context in and just like expand a lot of computation power and cost to be able to get a high quality analysis result. But in the other cases where you want very low latency and you want like very, and it's operating on simple like factual information that you can retrieve a very precise pieces out of the overall corpus, you will prefer the other side as well, right? So I think, for example, like what we see right now is that like for like video analysis or like multi-document comparison and general summarization, people are putting into these like 1 million token context windows. And as long as the task itself is valuable enough, it's totally okay to wait that time and spend that money, right? But when you have like these like massive corpus and you just want to know a simple fact, you're never going to dump the entire corpus into the context window. Right. So I think that's the general high level, like the way I think about this. I think tactically, like specifically, I imagine there would be less chunking and these kind of like ad hoc operation on these file size documents. And we're going to move towards much more like, you know, use pieces or like semantic sections as the retrieval target. And then after that, do a query or like context expansion to grab the entire document and send that to the large language model as the cost and latency continue to improve for these non-context, right? And I think the most interesting thing to me right now is that like we've kind of gotten used to this like embedding-based semantic search. And right now, like the context window on those models are really lagging the large language models, right? So the retrieval target and what the document you want to reason over might not be the same. So we need this additional layer of mapping and like pre-processing enrichment expansion that's needed. So almost like the work is just shifting a little bit in the overall architecture, but you still need to map the ability to kind of, you still have the ability to like optimize your retrieval and then like bring back the right representation for the LM to reason on.
Yeah, I think that you mentioned this at the beginning that you see Llama indexes like more like a data orchestration also exactly. In that sense. And this makes it actually very like good tool, basically, not just for RAG, but if you even go to like longer context window, you still need to ingest this data somewhere. You still need to like retrieve. You cannot just like put everything that you have in the same prompt, right? Like at the end of the day. And you also mentioned chunking. I know that chunking is like a kind of big, like a huge challenge in RAG. Like there are a lot of ways. Like I remember even once I looked at Jerry's Twitter and he was like mentioned different techniques on chunking. And people like always ask like, what's the best one? Like, do you support this paper? Do you support that paper? So it was always interesting to kind of follow like how people think about this and not just, you know, chunk just specific text, but like being more like smarter about that.
For sure. Yeah. It's always kind of funny to me that like chunking becomes such a big topic in the large language model era of application building. You would think that's solved by now, right? But we continue to kind of need these specific techniques to be able to get the high quality result out of the system. So, yeah.
Yeah, totally. I think maybe to switch gears, obviously, you know, beyond Llama Index open source, you just recently released Llama Cloud, and that's a big step forward to making Llama Index more accessible to enterprises. Can you kind of give for the audience a short intro on like, the differentiation between the open source piece and Llama Cloud, and also to what extent you're thinking about, you know, data processing and storing there in terms of security?
Totally. Yeah. So Llama Cloud is our enterprise data platform, and it has a very tight integration with the open source framework. Right. So the way we see things is that there's a lot of customization needs on the upper side of application building but there's a middle layer of data processing and data interface building that are very common to different use cases, right? For Llama Cloud is almost like a platform as a service in which you can offload some of those works to a managed service so that the AI engineers can focus on developing these end application and customize it to the business need. Right. Specifically for us, the first step we're tackling is unstructured data processing and enrichment. Right. A lot of challenge we've seen in RAG is that, you know, garbage in, garbage out, right? If you're not having a good initial step in properly processing your complex PDF, slides, HTML, which are the most common format of enterprise documents, you're not going to be able to get high quality results. Right. So we built our custom document processing engine. And it's very much optimized for retrieval generation, right? Unlike sort of generic document parsers out there, it's able to semantically extract out sections from these complex documents and also enrich that with additional metadata and tags, specifically make it easy for these hybrid search systems to retrieve the right sections, as well as kind of easier for the large language model to reason over that. Right. And we kind of package it together along with like a scalable data ingestion system that can allow you to connect to over 150 data sources, allow you to kind of parse these different document types and very easily ingest that into the downstream destination you want, whether it's like a blob storage, whether that's like a vector database, or in the future also if you want to kind of do additional extraction and ingestion into like a knowledge graph, graph database as well. Right, so we think of ourselves as these like data interface layer that do a lot of the pre-work so that the application sitting on top of that can actually get high quality data for the large language model application. Right. So this is one aspect. I think like in the future we're going to expand to like really good connection to structured data as well, like ability to connect to your SQL database and specify the right schema and metadata so that you know, those can be exposed to a higher level agent or like orchestration system to kind of like combine these information and use that to make the right decision.
I really like that you have this, you know, Llama index as like open source and people can start like using it like right away, just like download and start like playing and building some applications. But then when they like, okay, now we're like, we want to go to production or like high scale, we have a lot of systems connected. We can choose to like optimize ourselves Llama index, or we can actually just get like a prepared solution with your expertise and like, you know, all the knowledge that you have on this topic.
Exactly. So I think like for us, we still want everyone to use the open source framework, right? I think the flexibility and extensibility it affords give you a lot of control to optimize for the application specific needs. And we want to make sure that like there's a path to at least offload the data processing aspect, right? Because like that way you can kind of save the time in like maintaining and like kind of like taking the latest learning from the open source and research and building into your data platform, right? Like we're trying to make sure that is always up to date with the latest way to process, enrich these data components so that they could be kind of like driving the best performance on these systems.
Cool. I think maybe as a final question, is there one key call to action that you want to leave with the audience, something that you want to have them take away from this conversation? What would it be?
Yeah, I think two things. One is like a high level sentiment. I feel like we're so early in this journey as it relates to large language model based application. Everyone is figuring out the best practices. And I think like the true value unlock is just starting to happen, right? Like even though it feels like everyone has kind of heard about this already in my little bubble, but every time when I go like outside of San Francisco to talk to someone, like they're not even thinking about this yet, right? So like, I'm super hopeful that the uptick is happening like super quickly, but like there's much more to come. And number two, a more concrete one, like we've been really excited about Llama Cloud and specifically our document parsing solution. And we would love anyone who's working with complex document RAG use cases to give it a try. We have Llama Parse, which is the document parsing part, available as a self-serve API. So we've been able to drive a lot of value for our customers in better extracting high-quality information from complex documents. Now you can imagine that will work very well for other folks as well. So a little bit of a plug here.
Awesome. No, that's a really good way to end the episode. So once again, I'm Niels Swalens, your host. Thanks for listening in and the continued support as well for our community and, of course, the mission. And I also want to thank our sponsor, Perplexity.ai, our employer, and my co-host, Olex. But, of course, last but not least, Simon, thank you so much for the great conversation. And be sure to check out the notes for this episode, because they'll drop in some links to the resources that we mentioned. Thanks, everyone.